WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Who run the Chicago architecture world? Girls. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. To behold Chicago's skyline never ceases to give me a sense of wonder and amazement. No matter the time of year or day, it's a sight that invokes gratitude that Chicago is the city I get to call home. The skyline also sparks curiosity in me always because the architecture tells so many stories. But even in 2024, there's a history of our skyline that continues to go untold. The women architects of Chicago. On today's episode of What's That Building, I take a downtown field trip with Reset's resident architect guru, Dennis Rodkin, to point out these buildings downtown, to tell us about the important women architects who designed them. I'll let Dennis take it from here, where we began at the Chicago Architecture Center, to check out an exhibit that's up right now dedicated to, yep, you guessed it, women in architecture.
Yes. You're standing in the exhibit room that celebrates 50 years since a group of women architects gathered in an office on North Michigan Avenue to form the organization called Chicago Women in Architecture.
Okay.
There were very few women in architecture at the time. There are more now, but still proportionally few. At the time, they wanted to talk about issues like inequities in pay, women not being recognized for the contributions they were making on male-led teams, how to work in a profession while also raising children. A lot of those are issues that women architects are facing still today.
I was just going to say, I mean, I don't know how much has actually changed, but it's really nice to hear that these women got together and were doing this back in, what, the 70s?
In 1974.
1974. So now here at the Architecture Center, to honor this group 50 years later and the many women architects since, we've got the Disruptors exhibit. So what else can you share about that?
Well, around the corner here, there are pictures of hundreds of women who are working in architecture now. And here to the right is sort of our springboard into this discussion of women in architecture. It's a photo mural of buildings around the world that Chicago women architects contributed to or led the design of.
Wow, a composite skyline. That's a really striking photo.
Isn't that great? You see buildings, not only there are some that are within blocks of us here and others that are in Asia. It's really remarkable to think of these women who contributed. But from that photo mural, if we just turn this way.
Oh, okay.
Looking out the windows of the Architecture Center, we can see some actual buildings here in Chicago
this
by women architects.
Right behind us all along.
Right
across the street from the Architecture Center.
Right across the river. This is actually a great example, the Equitable Building. It's sort of a Mesian building right next to the Tribune Tower that a lot of people would be aware of, up above the Apple Store. And the woman associated with this building, Natalie DeBlois, is fascinating for a reason we'll get to. But first, let's say the building was built in 1965. It's 35 stories tall. It's generally credited primarily to Bruce Graham, who was a principal at Skidmore, Owings & Merrill in Chicago. Natalie DeBlois was partnered with him on this building. In latter days, people started to recognize her contribution. But the way she got to Chicago, I think, makes this building even more interesting.
And how did she team up with Graham?
So she's already a very well-known architect. She's already very successful working in New York on important buildings, the Pepsi headquarters in New York, other buildings in New York, hotels in Cincinnati and Istanbul. She's very well-known, but she's recently gotten divorced. She has four children. Her ex-husband remarries, moves to Chicago. the second wife says to Natalie, you know, I could help with childcare if you move to Chicago. So she leaves Skidmore in New York, comes to Skidmore in Chicago for childcare, essentially.
Okay.
Which I think makes this such an iconic building to take a look at from this exhibit.
That is actually really cool. And then I hear that there are more structures that we can see from this very spot.
Turn to your left.
Okay.
Take a look at the Wrigley building, and there's a building that towers over its shoulder.
Oh, the white one?
The white one. So the Equitable building was 1965. A dozen years later, River Plaza is going up. It too is primarily associated with a man, Ezra Gordon of Gordon and Levin.
So are they condos?
Started out as apartments, now condos. So when it's going up in 1977, this 56-story building, the project architect, the person who is actually responsible for getting all the design turned into a building that actually stands up, is Margaret Zirkel Young. Mm-hmm. She had previously, working for that same firm, Gordon and Levin, done Newberry Plaza, which is over by the Newberry Library on State Street,
right.
53 stories high. And there's a great story that attaches to her as well. In 1976, when this building, River Plaza, that we're looking at was going up, a national magazine about construction said that she was the only woman in the country with responsibility for projects of this size.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so standing here, we're looking at this Natalie DuBois building
and
this Margaret Zirkel Young building that both have sort of roots in women rising up through the ranks.
And Dennis, you don't have to walk far from the Architecture Center to actually see several more landmark pieces of women's work. Is that right?
We have a few just within a few blocks. You want to go take a look?
Let's take a look. Right, so now we are just three blocks away from the Chicago Architecture Center, and Dennis and I are standing on the corner of Columbus and East South Water Street. And Dennis, from here, we can see something pretty special way up high.
Way up high, yeah, two of them. This is why I love this corner, Sasha. When you're standing here, you can see the two tallest buildings in the world by a woman architect or by a woman-led architecture firm.
Oh, wow.
Jeannie Gang is the head of Studio Gang, which designed the one that is closest to us, Aqua, the 82-story Aqua building.
Wow.
Opened in 2009. And it was the tallest building in the world by a woman until she upped the ante with the 101-story St. Regis, which you can sort of see on the left.
Yeah. Both of these have these unique shapes too, right? I've got my neck like all the way back.
I love the way she did this. So Aqua was a real eye-opener, first of all, because most of what she had done was low-rise and out in neighborhoods. And then this comes in designed to look like the wind and the rain had eroded a stone wall, essentially. And you can see that with the undulating balconies. It looks like the building is eroded.
Do you know what it also looks like to me, though? Just all the waves. I think of water, you know, Aqua.
Yeah.
Get
also
where I'm going here.
Washing down the sides.
Yes.
I do. Well, let's see what St. Regis makes you think. That one, that's three towers of different heights, all connected, that undulate as they rise. The colors change. It's blue, green, white, blue, green, and the sides undulate. So it has another sort of waterborne form, not
yes.
quite the same as Aqua.
So Jeannie Gang was very much into shapes and water.
And we should say these two buildings, again, 2009 and 2020, they're the best known in Chicago, but Gang has now done buildings in New York, in St. Louis, in San Francisco, all over the world. She really is a world-renowned architect, and these are the two primary buildings of hers you can see in the city. Other buildings around the city and in the suburbs, but these are the big ones.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like she would be very influential in the architecture space.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, we've got lots more to see. There are plenty more structures here that were designed and built by women.
Let's go a few blocks west to State Street.
All right, let's do it. Okay, Dennis, we finally made it to our last stop on this wonderful tour. We're at Wabash Plaza, also known as the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Steps, inside the Riverwalk. What a beautiful day to be out here.
I know, we really lucked out, didn't we?
Yes.
There are so many people and boats. I would have thought we were here in July, except that I see pumpkins everywhere.
That's right.
This is such a spectacular place. This is, you've come down about two stories from the street level, down to the river level. And as you walk along the Riverwalk, you pass under the bridges, actually walking on sort of suspended walkways out over the water. You get to plazas like this. There are bars, there are restaurants. There's a native plant garden as you get farther west over toward the confluence of the branches of the river.
Mm-hmm.
I find the Riverwalk to be one of the best parts of Chicago.
Well, you know what I'm going to find to be one of the best parts of this interview? The fact that Carol Ross Barney is here with us. Carol is the architect who led the design of this fabulous transformation to what we see today. Hey, Carol, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
What does it feel like for you to see the Riverwalk all these years later, and also to see how much it's just kind of become a fixture of Chicago life?
You know, it's so interesting. I am a Chicagoan. When we got this commission, I thought it would be absolutely amazing. It would be fabulous. But I had no idea how much Chicagoans needed a Riverwalk. It's been, it's been open since 2016. So we have been open for 8 years completely. And the way that Chicagoans, their affection for this piece of land, it's just amazing.
And it's such a draw for visitors, too.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great for visitors. The other thing that's really incredible is the amount of development that's been spurred by the Riverwalk. If you just look at the number of towers that have been built in that time period, it's extraordinary.
Incredible. Can you pick your favorite spot on the Riverwalk? I know, I recognize this question might be tough, but tell me your favorite.
You know, that is a very hard question. I do like all the spaces, but I think the one that's my favorite is right in the middle, where it's called the River Theater, but it really is just a giant amphitheater that reaches down from Wacker to the river. Before the Riverwalk was constructed, you walk along Wacker, but you couldn't really see the river. And now that that barrier is eliminated, at least in that one block, it feels like the river is really part of the city. So I like that block. The other reason I like it is, as much as I love stopping and having a glass of wine or a beer like everybody else along the Riverwalk, that block is always public and always open and free. So I love that block the best.
Are there inspirations that you were drawing on when you did the design?
You know, we spent a long time trying to figure that particular thing out. The Riverwalk really is an extension of Chicago's grid. So in some parts, it probably feels pretty rigid. And to us, those felt like spaces that might be individually characterized or designed, have different qualities. It was really important that we got a continuous feel, a continuous path that had some identity. But after that, really our inspiration was the river itself. Like, what were the types of spaces that you would traditionally see on a river in the Midwest? The Chicago River had none of them, so we built them. So we have a marina now. Before the Riverwalk was constructed, there was no place to put a boat in or anything like that. We have one that is sort of a low beach-like space called the Cove. Originally, it was our intention that maybe you could even pull up in a canoe, because we also managed to get the dock level down to the river level. Before, it was 5 or 6 feet up. And then the other spaces were also inspired by spaces that you might find along an Illinois River. In the jetty, we have, that's the one you talked about before, native plants. Not just native plants, but plants that grow in Illinois rivers. So some of them are water plants. Then we have some that are rooted but grow in water. And then we have some that are inundation tolerant, meaning they live on the riverbank because they can be flooded. And then the last block is called the Water Plaza. Originally, we called it the Swimming Hole, because we felt that it was really important to be able to touch water. So that one has a water feature where kids can play. We thought it was really important to touch water. The river is relatively clean. It was really a bad, bad, bad place for a long time. But the city is working on getting it cleaned up. And on most days, it is technically swimmable. Anyway, in that block, the other funny story about that block is when we tried to permit it, we had to permit it with both the Army Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard and all these other authorities. They asked us to change the name. Our original name for it was the Swimming Hole, and they thought that the people would be invited to jump into the water. So now it's Water Plaza. But in general, what we did in the end is we just created river spaces.
That's wonderful. Carol, I want to ask you about another of your recent projects, which is where Sasha and I started today at the Disruptors, the exhibit. You helped organize it.
I did.
What do you want people to know when they go there? What do you want people to learn from that exhibit?
Well, the exhibit marks the 50th anniversary of Chicago Women in Architecture, which was not the first, but the longest lasting professional organization for women architects. When CWA was formed 50 years ago in 1974, there are very few women architects in Chicago. There are very few architects practicing. I think right then it was like 3% of licensed architects were women. And it was created by a really interesting group of women. You said you saw some buildings. Natalie DeBlois was one of the founders. Gertrude Kurbis was a founder. And they just saw a need for women to get together and support each other. So the exhibit is about that journey. The best thing about that, though, is the organization is still really alive. It's really strong. And it's still serving the same purpose. It's serving as a forum for women architects.
Were you at those first meetings with Natalie and Gertrude?
I was. It was so funny because I was a baby architect, to say the very least. I had just graduated from the University of Illinois, and I just got out of the Peace Corps. So I was really, I think at that point I had probably literally seen only three architects, women, in my life.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden I was in a room with about a dozen of them. So for me, it was like unbelievable. It was like,
where have you all been?
Where have you been? I didn't know you existed. So it was quite exciting. I was amazed.
So it sounds like there's been some progress when it comes to the world of women architects, but there is still work to be done, right?
Oh, yeah. Architecture, I think because it's so closely related to construction, hasn't generally been considered a woman's profession. Not that there aren't any women professions. Right now, women probably are enrolled in equal numbers in architecture schools. But when you talk about practitioners, the number falls off. And women architects are still paid less and are less present in the ownership of big companies or even small companies. So it's still uphill, but it's better. I mean, everybody pushes the ceiling a little higher and makes it better for the next person.
So why don't you leave us with this, Carol? What advice would you give to aspiring women architects who may be listening to us right now?
Well, I think the first thing is architecture is a good profession for women. Like I said, I think it's because of its relationship to construction that maybe it hasn't been considered traditionally. But it's exactly the sort of thing that a woman can do really well. Architects are generalists. We like to solve problems. There's no reason that women, I know women have those talents. And I think CWA also is a great organization because it's just provided this sort of foundational level for so many women. So if you are a woman architect in Chicago looking for friends, call on CWA. And in general, I have been an architect now, I hate to admit this, for over 50 years. And I love what I do. There isn't a day that I get up and I'm not challenged. I love every drawing I make. I love every building I think of. And I think that the reason that, and this is not just about architecture, I think life quality goes up when you do something that you think is important and you like doing. And so if that's architecture for you, do it. Don't let anyone keep you out of it.
Well, I'm certainly inspired. Thank you so much. Carol Ross Barney, we appreciate you making the time.
Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by me, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ethan Schwab and Ari Mejia. Remember, if you see a building or interesting structure that you would like Dennis to investigate, leave us your name and a description of the property in a voice message at 888-915-9945. That's 888-915-9945. Or you can send an email to reset@wbez.org, and we just might cover it on the show. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day. We'll meet again this afternoon.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely